7:20 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop. Kevin off this week. Our producer, Jonathan Schaefer, as always, making the magic from the Zone studios. Let's bring in Andrew Erickson with Pro Football Focus, talking fantasy football. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, hopefully we're going to have some football to talk about, but let's talk about the rankings first of all. And you know, interestingly, you know, with fantasy football, you know, it's all about the playmakers, and you know, who you guys have at the top doesn't really surprise us.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at the guys at the top that are going to see the most carries, the most touches, and overall, that's what you're looking for fantasy football. You got to get those opportunities to turn into fantasy.
And you have Christian McCaffrey, you know, who, you know, obviously puts up big numbers, not only as a runner, but a guy who catches the ball.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of why, you know, you see a guy like Derrick Henry, you know, maybe not as high as some of those other guys due to the fact that, you know, we haven't seen him really using that passing game, you know, as much as we'd all like to see him, even though it seems like every time he catches a screen pass, he goes all the way to the house.
Talk about how you ranked your wide receivers.
So the receivers, it really goes by looking again at like total target share of the offense. So again, you're going to see Michael Thomas there at the top, basically across the board. And the reason being is because, you know, you look at that depth chart and there's not really much behind him. They, you know, the Saints added Emmanuel Sanders, but outside of that, you know, they don't really have a lot of guys that are going to look for targets in their offense. So that's why Michael Thomas, you see, is at the top of most of the rankings. And then you have guys like Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones, Devontae Adams, as other guys that really dominate the targets in their offenses and also just play on offenses that, you know, the Chiefs are going to score a lot of points. The Falcons are going to score a lot of points. The Packers, you know, maybe their offense may not score as many points as those other offenses. But again, Devontae Adams, you look at their depth chart, you know, Green Bay Packers decided not to draft any receivers in this year's draft and instead, you know, draft running backs and tight ends and fullbacks and things like that. So Adams has a clear path to, you know, to see 150 targets here in 2020.
And you have A.J. Brown of the Titans as your 11th ranked receiver, largely because of his yards after catch.
Yeah, A.J. Brown is a very interesting guy to look at in drafts. He has a ton of upside. Obviously, we saw last year he just absolutely smashed with the limited opportunities that he got. And the way that things are kind of trending is, you know, yes, he may not be able to sustain that type of efficiency year over year, but with the way that the Titans operated last year as a run-heavy offense, you know, that may regress to the mean a little bit where they may have to be more pass-heavy because they may not be able to just, you know, hand the ball to Derrick Henry 30 times a game. So what A.J. Brown may lose in terms of efficiency next year, he actually may gain in terms of volume. And I obviously like him a lot more than, you know, guys like Corey Davis and Adam Humphries, who could potentially take away targets in the offense.
We're speaking to Andrew Erickson from Pro Football Focus.
Yes, Andrew, speaking of A.J. Brown, does the Titans offense actually, I know you say there's run after catch up with A.J. Brown, but does their offense, the way they spread the ball around, actually hurt their numbers for fantasy football? Because you don't see the targets and the carries as much of those skill guys as most teams.
Yeah, you're definitely looking for concentrated targets and, you know, touches. So you want offenses that it's like really easy to predict. Hey, you know, these are the two guys that the offense goes through. So ultimately, it's not great that the Titans like to spread it out. But ultimately, I do think that A.J. Brown, you know, as a rookie, still, you know, he still commanded a lot of targets in that offense and he looked like the total alpha receiver. So it's hard to really imagine him, you know, not getting more involved as one of the receivers, especially with the connection he seemed to really build with Ryan Tannehill over the last half of the season. So I really like him to kind of take a step up here. And I'm really excited about Jonnu Smith as well at tight end. You know, Delanie Walker is kind of finally out of the picture completely. And Jonnu Smith has really flashed his big play upside, similar to that of A.J. Brown. So as a tight end position where we're really trying to scrape the bottom of the barrel, find effective tight ends after some of the big guys, I really like Jonnu Smith as a guy you can get later in your draft as a tight end with a lot of upside.
So you're saying Janu is a sleeper in fantasy, huh? Or who else would be a sleeper?
Yeah, so I guess another sleeper, you know, we'll stick to the tight end position. Looking over at the Miami Dolphins, Mike Gesicki It's another tight end. You know, he's flashed a lot of athletic upside, you know, in the past couple seasons. And he really has a chance to emerge as one of the primary receivers in that offense, you know, that doesn't really have a lot of receivers like Devontae Parker, you know, outside of Devontae Parker. So, you know, that's what you're looking for when it comes to the tight end position. You're looking for offenses that are kind of weak at the wide receiver position. They don't have a lot of established guys that are really going to be like, oh, like, he's going to command a lot of targets. That's what we're looking for when you're looking for, you know, potential tight ends that could really take a step forward in the upcoming season.
Andrew, I'm going to give you a broad question here, and you can run with it. AFC breakdown of all – AFC South breakdown of all the teams, and who should everybody, I guess, look forward to having big numbers?
Yeah, so I guess we'll, the AFC South, you know, just remind me if I don't, hopefully I don't miss any teams. So we'll start with the Titans. So again, I think that Derrick Henry is not someone necessarily I'm going to be targeting a lot in the first round. That's where he's going to be going drafted, just because of the fact that, hey, we're not so sure how useful he's going to be in the passing game. And I'm not so sure that the Titans are going to be able to sustain the type of efficiency they were last year as a red zone offense. So basically, they didn't like kick any field goals last year. Every time they were in the red zone, they scored a touchdown. And it was well above, you know, any other team last year. So I don't expect that to continue into 2020. So Derrick Henry, I'm not so into. A.J. Brown, though, and Jonnu Smith, I'm definitely targeting. I like Tannehill as a quarterback you can get later in draft. When it comes to the Jaguars, I really like the connection, the wide receiver D.J. Chark. He showed a lot of promise last year. He kind of fizzled out a little bit towards the end of the season, which is why he's not going super high in drafts right now. But I think that he's a really valuable receiver that has a wide receiver, you know, a top 12 wide receiver upside with Gardner Minshew. Leonard Fournette is a running back I'm not necessarily looking to target as often. Again, he was not efficient last year as a running back. They gave him a lot of touches and he didn't do anything with them. We have a whole new offensive coming, kind of offensive system coming in. So I'm just not really sure how to project Leonard Fournette for next year. And it seems like the coaching staff, you know, may or may not be fed up with him, you know, for trade rumors. So I'm not so sure if Fournette can be super reliable in 2020. And when it comes to the Texans, I like Deshaun Watson. I think that that offense is going to be underrated to the fact that they lost DeAndre Hopkins. I think people are sleeping on Watson a little bit. I think he still has a lot of vertical receivers like Will Fuller, Kenny Stills. They brought in Brandon Cooks, and they have two pass-catching running backs in David Johnson and Duke Johnson. So I think that Deshaun Watson can still get enough done with those pass-catching options. And then when it comes to the Colts, I'm not really buying, you know, any type of Phillip Rivers kind of resurgence in a new offense. I mean, I think that he kind of showed us last year the kind of quarterback he's become. You know, these quarterbacks that get older can fall off rather quickly. So Phillip Rivers, I'm not really interested in looking at. And the same kind of goes for guys like T.Y. Hilton. He's dealt with a lot of injuries over the past couple of seasons, lower leg injuries. We've seen this with some of these older players. So not looking to buy into Hilton. But again, when it comes to the Colts, I'm looking at that running game and I'm looking at Jonathan Taylor. And I just think that just a matter of time before, you know, they see what he can do behind that offensive line, which PFF ranked as, you know, the number one offensive line going into next season. And I think that Jonathan Taylor, you know, you're going to draft him and immediately know, wow, this guy could be, you know, he's going to put up monster numbers for your fantasy.
Who are you down on this year going into the season? Not just AFC South, but just all the conferences combined as well.
Yeah, so I guess a player I would say I'm probably more down on than most would be someone like DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not so sure of the type of, you know, seeing with, you know, top-end receivers moving from team to team. You know, give an example, obviously Odell Beckham Jr. last year moved from the Browns, or moved from the Giants to the Browns, and it just didn't really work out that well. He was rather disappointing, and now you have Hopkins, who's been basically, you know, a really productive receiver with the Texans, with Deshaun Watson, and now he's obviously moving to Arizona with a different quarterback, Kyler Murray. So I just don't know. I don't know if he's going to pay off as, you know, being a top five wide receiver like he's going to be drafted as, just because of the new surroundings, especially considering, you know, all that's going on right now in terms of how can they build a connection, you know, the new offense and things like that. So I'm just not so sure that he's going to pay off where he's going to be drafted.
We're on with Andrew Erickson, fantasy football analyst.
Andrew, you guys kind of downgraded Ryan Tannehill despite the great year that he had. And he's a mobile quarterback, so he can get you some yards with his legs as well as his arm.
Yeah, so when it comes to Ryan Tannehill, I'm just looking where we have him. So we have him over at, you know, at quarterback 21, it looks like. So the way with Tannehill, and maybe I think I'm a little bit higher than our consensus here is with his ranking here. And I agree. I think that Tannehill does have some upside as a runner. I just think it goes back to the fact that we've seen a large sample of Ryan Tannehill, you know, from his days in Miami, and then obviously we saw an 8-game sample with him just absolutely play above expectations last year. So I think it's more or less just kind of tempering expectations. Like, it's not fair to necessarily just project his what he did last year and just project it through an entire season, because what they were, the whole Titans offense last year was just absurdly efficient across the board. And it just doesn't make sense from a projection standpoint to project them for that type of ceiling. Obviously, we know that, hey, when Tannehill's firing on all cylinders, this is what he can do. But with projections, we want to be a little bit more to the median when we look at them. So I still think Tannehill's a viable quarterback that you can get later, because I think, like you said, he adds value with those legs. But again, if the Titans ultimately do what they want to do, which is to run the football, that's going to limit Tannehill as a passer, because he's just not going to be throwing for, you know, he's not going to be throwing 40 times a game like some of these other quarterbacks.
With, you know, no OTAs, without, you know, mini camps, with a much different preseason, with only two games, and more of it, you know, concentrating on practice, how tough is it to evaluate the rookies?
Yeah, it is obviously much tougher to kind of see, because we don't get to see them, you know, with any preseason reps or mostly, you know, preseason reps. So, again, you know, you always want to be kind of wary with rookies anyway. When it comes to tight ends, there's really not much there. You know, rookie tight ends are very, very, very difficult to see them really impact. Rookie running backs, I would say it's less important. I still think that rookie running backs can still have an impact, even if it's, you know, because if you're the best running back on your team, like, you're still going to make an impact. So guys like Jonathan Taylor, for example, I'm not really too concerned about. But when it comes to the receivers, I think that people get really excited about the rookie wide receivers, especially, you know, all the first and second round picks that get drafted. I think those are the guys you need to be wary of, but also pay attention to, because I think that the rare rookie receiver that does produce, you know, at an early, you know, if he produces in week one or week two, you know, explodes for you like a big game, I think that's very indicative. Like, wow, like, this receiver put up big numbers without all the preseason reps, without, you know, these practice reps, he's still able to produce. Like, that is a major indicator of a guy that could really put up big numbers. And a guy I like specific for that reason is Brandon Ayuk, who got drafted by the Arizona Cardinals in the first round. He has a very, very ample opportunity ahead of him because of the injury to Deebo Samuel. So if there's any rookie wide receiver I'm going to take, it's going to be Brandon Ayuk.
Andrew, great stuff. We can't wait for football to start. Let's hope there is football, but we'll speak to you down the line.
Praying every day. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Andrew Erickson from Pro Football Focus.